Show. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Broadcasting live from the Horn Sauna, I am Bob. Hey, Ferg, throw a little more water on those hot rocks over there and make some more steam and pass me a bundle of them switches that they use to beat themselves with in the saunas in Russia. Ah, this is good. I can just feel the pores opening in this blisteringly hot studio. Oh, yeah, just take that dipper over there, Ferg. Just dip it right onto the rocks. Oh, yeah, nice and foggy now, too. Oh, I do love a good sauna. Followed by a steam room, then an icy, bracing bath. Ah, it's going to be relaxing. What kind of... I saw Tony Bourdain doing the Banya thing in one of his episodes. What are those little branches they beat themselves with? I don't know. It looks invigorating. Then the ice cold shots of vodka somewhere along the way. Whew! Mother. Nah, it's a little warm and toasty in here this evening, but we'll be all right. Yes, it is. It absolutely is, Lottie. It is a waterproof microphone. It is not head-worn. I am not a moron like a fundamentalist Baptist minister wearing his head-worn microphone into... into the baptistry and getting... Nope. Yeah, it's a little damp in here, but we'll be fine. So it is Tuesday, and we've had a very busy day here. We put our activist feet on the street earlier and went down to Charleston for the DEP permit hearing on the god-awful monstrosity that is taking place above our homes here. And we heard, our lawyer make a, when an operation's been going on for years, and they're told to correct things that they've been doing, screwing up the environment, and, by the environment, I mean the place where we all live here, and they're told to fix it, and in fixing it, things only get worse. And then they think they're entitled to have the permit renewed? And, of course, the $500 an hour lawyer for the coal company gets up. You could just tell that he had tucked his reptilian tail inside his suit pants before he left for work in the morning. I don't know what these people are upset about. You can't even see it, out of sight, out of mind. Oh, we can't see. Yeah, you know what? I can't see the mercury that falls from the sky because of burning coal. I can't see the mercury that falls from the skies into our rivers, our lakes, our oceans, our seas, our little creeks. I can't see that either. But just because I can't see it doesn't mean that that the mercury in this country doesn't account for, a 10-point IQ deficit in any child born at any given minute? So that's where we were today. Tried to keep up, as I noted in our sort of foreshortened show last night. Tried to keep up with the news a little bit along the way, though, just the same. And there is an abundance. There is always an abundance. As long as there are repiglickens in the world, we will never want for something to talk about on this program or the other programs on the horn, if you were listening to Guy James earlier today, which I hope you were, and if you weren't, why not? You know that there's plenty to talk about. And we'll hit some of the high points this evening, or low points, since they do involve repiglickens. But you know what? I'm not a superstitious man, and I don't go in for superstitious stuff. However, I have to note, I can't avoid noting the synchronicity of one particular item in the news. You know, driving down the mountain today, I was listening to the radio in the big old red truck, and I heard a story about the fact that the first Guantanamo concentration camp inmate was brought into the territorial confines of the United States today. And, of course, I was filled with fear and dread and absolute loathing, because I'm just as terrified as any right-winger. I know what this means for America. I know what it means to bring Ahmed Gailani to New York to actually face trial for his role in the bombing of the U.S. embassies in Tanzania and Kenya. I know what that means. None of us are safe. None of us. We are all living on the precipice of a descent into absolute horror now, and we probably barely even know it. Ahmed Gailani is in the United States, and doom awaits us. I'm terrified. And of course, what's his name? That creepy little House Minority Leader. They're all creepy, I know. Pumpkin-faced John Boehner. This is the first step in the Democrats' plan to import terrorists into America. Yeah, because we can't grow enough of our own. The guy that shot Dr. Tiller. And Timothy McVeigh. You know, various and sundry serial killers and liberal murderers. We can't come up with enough domestic terrorists. So John Boehner notes that the Democrats have a plan to import terrorists into America. Now, if you want your own terrorist, is there a duty-free shop where you can get them? Because I figure the import tariff has got it. Well, wait, we could have free trade terrorists. I don't know. Without a plan to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay, the administration has made the decision to begin transferring these terrorists into the United States. Do they plan to give them the same legal rights as the American people? Well, I hate to say it, but I kind of hope we do, because if we don't give them the same rights as the American people, then the rights of the American people ain't worth much! But who the hell am I? So Eric Cantor, who is the GOP House Minority Weasel, or I don't know, whip, chains, thumbscrew, the House Minority something or another, went on MSNBC today, again, why, don't know, to talk to Norah O'Donnell about the fact that there is, we're in uncharted waters. There is no precedent. Well, let's see if Eric Cantor can talk for himself.
I think that those are all important points to make. Let me also ask you about this first Guantanamo Bay detainee that is now in the United States.
Now!
Face trial. I know you've spoken out about this. You're not happy about it, are you?
Well, you know, it's just counterintuitive. Why in the world would somebody be so focused on the rights of a terrorist instead of keeping Americans safe? There are so many unanswered questions about bringing these detainees onto U.S. soil. We have no judicial precedents for the conviction
None.
Of someone like this. It is just wrong for us to be bringing these detainees here, given the current situation and the unanswered questions. We ought to be putting the safety of American citizens first.
Because, you know, Ahmed Gailani, he's got super Muslim powers. He can bend jail bars. He'll be out by morning and terrorizing America's in busted knuckle at the Walmart. Oh, God help us.
There's only one problem, of course. Well, wait. No. This just in. Eric Cantor may be right.
God may have already lifted his veil of protection from us for bringing the Muslim terrorist to New York. God, why did we do it? Why did we let Barack Hussein Obama bring the terrorists here? Oh, God.
I don't think this is a coincidence. Three people were in critical condition and two were missing after an explosion Tuesday. Today, just today, after the terrorist came to New York. After an explosion today at a plant in North Carolina that produces Slim Jims. That's right, smack into a Slim and bang, boom, it's gone. Three people are in critical condition, two are missing. The explosion happened about 11:30 a.m., right about the same time that Ahmed Gailani was going to court.
This is not a coincidence. This is not a boating accident. This is how terrorism works. Our Slim Jim factories were safe.
Until we started bringing known terrorists onto American soil. Sections of the roof collapsed at the ConAgra Foods plant in Garner, North Carolina. And Mayor Ronnie Williams said there was no warnings and no signs. It all happened very abruptly. That's how the terrorists are. Now, never mind the fact that there was an ammonia leak. It's terrorism. See, them terrorists, they knew they wanted to divert our attention so maybe they could use one of their wily terrorist plots to get Ahmed Gailani out of prison. Because they hate us, and they hate America, and they hate them some Slim Jims. A 425,000 square foot plant. And if only Barack Hussein Obama would have left that terrorist down there with the panties on his head in Guantanamo Bay, that plant might still be producing capitalist Slim Jims even as we speak, like God intended. Hallelujah. But instead, we have tragedy. All because them lily-livered liberal Democrats wanted to give more rights to some Muslim than an American ever had. What American doesn't cherish that tough, leathery stick of variegated beef, pork, and chicken leftover parts all
cooked and compressed into spicy wonderfulness with a snap when you bite it. How much more American can you get than a Slim Jim? And that's how deeply the terrorists strike. Right to the very heart of your cutcher. One minute you're snacking on a Slim Jim, and the next minute you can't get one no more, because the terrorists have got them. It ain't no coincidence. These things happen for a reason. And you know who I blame? I blame Barack Obama. Where is his birth certificate? Huh? 'Cause anybody with a half a brain knows that you can't expect to be bringing terrorists to America and still have your precious American heritage of junk food and snack food remain intact. It don't work that way.
Thank you.
Sometimes the Manhattan Transfer is just the exact menu choice you want. Soul food to go there. And a couple of emails in the interim during the musical break. Our buddy David in South Carolina says, and Smithfield is nearby with the super exploding swine. This is a way to divert attention. And that is followed by our good buddy Reverbo, critic at large, who says, well, it had to be in my state. Slim Jims, Bob, Slim Jims can be used as weapons. You and I both know that. That's why the terrorists chose that plant to attack, and look what happened. I can attest that those processed meat torpedoes have been used as weapons against the digestive tracts of degenerate and injudicious capitalist junk food buyers. The terrorists know this all too well. Damn. Next thing you know, we won't be allowed to carry these on board the bus vehicles, the form of transportation favored by the Slim Jim crowd. Including yours truly. Yep, they've added one more thing. One more thing at the airport. Got to take your shoes off and declare that you have no Slim Jims. And see, there's more on the list. ConAgra, the massive corporate food giant that manufactures Slim Jims. Oh, don't think just because you haven't had a Slim Jim lately that you're immune. ConAgra Foods also produces Healthy Choice.
Ooh.
Chef Boyardee. Dear Jesus, don't let them get my raviolis and my SpaghettiOs, please. And, oh dear God, is nothing sacred. Orville Redenbacher. The terrorists are going to come after Orville Redenbacher. I can't bear to think what it's going to be like when they get to the Orville Redenbacher factory. That explosion may rock half of the Midwest with all that popcorn popping at one time. Sweet Jesus. But see, there's only one problem with all of this, apart from the fact that it makes me feel dirty for days when I take my mind into that sort of imitation right wing. I mean, how long do we have to wait? How long do we have to wait until some right-winger connects these two dots? Because, you know, that's how they operate. The totally unrelated events, they can relate them. Michael Steele was addressing a crowd, the GOP chairman Michael Steele was addressing a crowd and made sure that everybody, it was the college, young Repiglicans or something like that. And he said, now see, we all like to wear our hats. Out in the Midwest, y'all wear them tilted to the right. And in the South, they wear the bills straight on. And up Northeast, where I am, I wear it turned all the way around backwards because in the Northeast, that's how we roll. Yeah, you roll, Michael. Yeah, you bad and you nationwide. Mm-hmm. But he went on and he said, but we have a president who wants you to wear only one hat, and that's his hat. No, really. These people are rebels in search of it. They're like that old gag about what do you get when you cross what happens when you cross James Dean with Ronald Reagan. What do you get? A rebel without a clue. And really, that's where the Repiglican Party is now. All kidding aside, I feel a tremendous sense of sympathy. And my best wishes go out to the for the families of the two missing workers in the ConAgra building, as well as the others, the three who were badly burned. The 38 people transported to area hospitals. Of course, it being North Carolina and it being ConAgra, I will wager what little I have to wager that we are not talking here about a union shop, you know, where you have things like safety precautions and safety training and safety teaching and safety concerns and
Nah. Anybody want to guess who was working in the ConAgra plant? No, that dot connecting may not happen because, well, you know who these meat companies like to hire now, don't you? And they are, to say the least, expendable. But the fact of the matter is, Eric Cantor, you know, Mr. Britney Spears concert, Eric Cantor, who really, really, really digs Britney. I mean, really. In claiming, let's see, what's the quote? Yeah, there are so many unanswered questions about bringing these detainees onto U.S. soil. We have no judicial precedents for the... Now, notice, there's no qualification to almost none. We have very few... No, we have no judicial precedents for the conviction of someone like this. Now, if by someone like this, he means someone named Ahmed Gailani, well, I guess he's right, because I don't know that we've got any other Ahmed Gailanis in prison or have prosecuted any. But if he means people accused of so-called terrorism, well, he's got a problem. Or maybe we have the problem. He doesn't have a problem because he's a right-winger and a pig-licking. And lions, what that poor little soul does for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks in between. Wife says, "Good night, honey, I love you." And he says, "I hate your guts." Because he has to. He just lies. All that he's a repiglican. Lying is what repiglicans do. I mean, are we clear on that? But in this case, the lying was particularly egregious. Because in the Bureau of Prisons, which is the official arm of the United States federal government that deals with, oddly enough, prisons, there are 216 current inmates. That's right now, not in the past. Right now, in the custody of the, you know, as in I commit you to the custody of the Bureau. Right. Right now, in the custody of the Bureau of Prisons of the United States, there are 216 inmates who have some history of or other connection to international terrorism. So maybe, I don't know, maybe in Eric Cantor's world, 216 equals, what's the phrase again? Oh, yeah. No judicial precedent. Maybe on 217 we'd have judicial precedent. No, because Ahmed Gailani, he'll get convicted. And then we'll still have no judicial precedents for dealing with this. But see, I know this, and you know this. How many other people know this? That Obama, he's going to turn him loose on the streets. Oh, dear Jesus. No judicial precedents for the conviction of someone like this, even though we've convicted 216. Let's see, of that 216, 67 of them were extradited, really, you know, writs and paperwork and wax seals and ribbons on paper and parchment and greetings to, and, you know, your honorable, right, all of that fancy schmancy legal stuff. 67 of them were extradited to the United States for prosecution. 149 of them were not extradited. Of the group, 72 are U.S. citizens. Of that 72, 45 born in the United States, 27 naturalized. So we have no precedent. Except for the fact that, you know, Ahmed Gailani was wanted in connection with the embassy bombings in Tanzania and Kenya. And we've already tried some of those guys. And they're already in prison, Eric Cantor. You've been whiffing the Britney fumes a little too much? Yeah. Are you getting a little dippy there, Eric? And, of course, the place where these people are sent is a hell on earth
in Florence, Colorado, called ADX Florence. It's the single most secure facility that the Bureau of Prisons operates. It makes, I don't know, it makes Alcatraz look like a day spa. And 33 of the international, not the American types or anything, no, 33 of the international terrorists, you know, the ones that we have no precedent for dealing with, yeah, those guys, they are currently and permanently warehoused at ADX Florence. And never once, not even once, has there ever been an escape, even the remote opportunity of one, from ADX Florence, otherwise known as Supermax. Somehow it sounds like a giant drugstore chain, doesn't it? Supermax. Nobody. But according to lying sack of Eric Cantor, we have no judicial precedents for the conviction of someone like this. I don't know. These guys are really good at weasel room. Maybe no judicial precedent for the conviction of someone like this, and never mind the fact that he's presupposing the conviction. We will give him a nice fair trial, and then he will be shot. You know. Maybe what he means by that is that he's afraid there won't be a conviction because a bunch of the evidence against Mr. Gailani was, oh dear, extracted by torture. Sorry for the upspeak there. I hate upspeak. But, yeah, extracted by torture, perhaps? Maybe the evidence is going to turn out to be no good because the defendant was repeatedly waterboarded or frozen in rooms or had the attention slap performed on him or was walled. Maybe that's what's making Mr. Cantor so nervous. Maybe he's afraid they won't get a conviction because of that. I don't know. And, of course, earlier today, this morning, as the case may be, there was more bloviation about this. There was a hearing held in the Senate led by Senator Russ Feingold, a Wisconsin Democrat, for the purpose of discussing the ongoing, endless life, miserable life in hell detention of just such people as Ahmed Gailani. And for some reason or another, a darling of the right wing, a creepy lawyer among creepy lawyers by the name of David Rivkin showed up to issue some bone-chilling and blood-curdling predictions.
Go ahead. With respect, that may be where the Supreme Court or a portion of the Supreme Court would go. That is not the holding of Boumediene. Therefore, in one instance, you have uncertainty in litigating it. In another instance, if you bring people here, you have absolute and utter certainty that they have a full panoply of constitutional rights. But there's one other important issue. What happens to individuals like the Uyghurs who are being ordered released by the court, despite Judge Rubino's opinion? If you look at what this administration is continuing to do in this area, they're arguing quite vigorously that the federal courts, despite the existence of constitutional habeas, lack the power to compel the political branches, the executive in this instance, to bring an alien from outside the United States to be released. If you bring people here, there's no doubt in my
here
mind
comes.
That anybody who's habeas, who prevails in this habeas case would be released, possibly held for a few months under the teaching of Zalbidis in immigration detention. So basically, if we start bringing people here, we better be prepared, despite everything that is said at the political level, that dozens and dozens of individuals, if you look at the odds so far in the habeas process in the district court for the District of Columbia, government has not done very well. In my view, not because they're innocent, but because the evidence is not there. So we're going to have hundreds of terrorists.
Hundreds?
walking around this country, and we cannot deport, by the way, back to their home countries because of the concerns about torture, aggregating the world's worst terrorists on American soil for years to come is not a very smart way to wage a war.
You know what? I think when we make the movie of all this, David Rivkin should be played by Christopher Walken. Did you hear that? Those vocal stylings? Yeah, there's going to be hundreds of terrorists walking around this country. Hundreds. Sometimes they'll walk together. Sometimes they'll walk two by two. Sometimes they'll walk alone. And maybe, just maybe, just maybe they'll walk, I don't know, they'll walk by a Slim Jim plant. And then, well, then we're screwed. You know the number. Jump right in. The conversation's fine. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or on your own dialing plan, 304-658-3333. Email rolls into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is Activist Radio. This is The Horn.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
I got high, Lord, I got in jail. Well, I got high, and I got in jail. I got high, and I got in jail. I had nobody for to go my bail. My sins, they have overtaken me. Hand me down my walking cane. Lord, hand me down my walking cane. Hand me down my walking cane. I'm gonna leave on the morning train. My sins, they have overtaken me. Well, the beans are tough, Lord, the meat was fat.
Yeah, you ain't getting your walking cane and leaving ADX Florence Supermax. But don't tell Eric Cantor that. That, of course, the inimitable, the magnificent, the legendary Norman Blake, hand me down a walking cane from a tremendous album called Whiskey Before Breakfast. The very thought is terrifying. Let's keep it rolling, though. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Koss, what's happening, man?
Not much, getting fed up with the world.
Well, you know, you stay that way. I stay that way.
Yeah. I wanted to harken back to something you were talking about last night when you mentioned the compartmentalization that people have in their minds.
Yes. I saw an example of that today, but go ahead.
Okay. It caused me to think about something, oddly enough, where if you look at the testimony from the Nuremberg trials, the second round, these are the lower level people, the camp guards and so forth, virtually every single one of these people was an exemplary husband. They loved their children. They loved their wives. And they went to work the next day and killed people. They tortured people. And then they went home and played with their kitty.
Yes.
If that's not compartmentalization, I don't know what is.
Oh, it's the very definition. And I don't know. I suppose, Cossack, there is a certain degree of there are limits to what the human mind can tolerate, but I don't know that it's necessarily easy to find. I will defer to horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner on that one.
But I mean, it's like I said, I just don't see how you do it. I don't see how you can remain human in any discernible sense and still be able to behave in such a psychopathic manner.
Yes. Or sociopathic.
Yeah.
But then again, where psychopathy or psychopathology and sociopathology are concerned, their very definitions preclude having to really bother with that messy humanity business.
Oh, speaking of sociopaths, you've heard the latest from our friend Scott Roeder.
Yes, I have. It's a victory. Well, okay, backing up. The Tiller family announced that the women's clinic in Kansas City, Kansas, will not reopen.
Right. Ever.
Yeah, and Scott Roeder has declared victory now.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, but if you'll notice, I think it was yesterday or the day before.
By the way, have you noticed that this clown looks a little bit like Slim Pickens?
Yeah.
Sorry, just...
The later Slim Pickens, when he wasn't so slim anymore.
Yeah, well, I was thinking the Blazing Saddles Slim Pickens.
But if you'll notice, he was actually allowed to use the telephone to call the AP and have a press conference.
Yeah, I did notice that. And how's that work, Cossack?
I don't know. I mean, we can't even allow the detainees in Guantanamo to even have an attorney or speak to them, and this guy gets to get on the phone and have a press conference with the AP to complain about his accommodations. It's too cold in here.
I'm being treated, weren't those the words? I'm being treated like a common criminal.
Yeah. And he's complaining that he can't sleep because they won't bring him his anti-apnea machine.
Well, you know, I guess he should count his blessings because, you know, I'd bring Q-tips for his nose, but you know, then I'm an evil man.
Well, not only that, but he also stated that this is just the beginning. So he seems to know something about more terrorist acts. Why can't we now, since we have a ticking time bomb situation?
Why, yes, we do, don't we?
You know, he has said as much.
Time to waterboard!
Yeah, oh yeah. Waterboard, several wall slams.
A few attention slaps.
Uh-huh.
But no, see, it's just it's just women and doctors that are threatened by this. And, not like Wall Street types with the Twin Towers or anything. So that I guess the time bomb isn't ticking that loudly. This is beneath the under the radar and beneath the beneath contempt for the heroic Jack Bauer wannabes of the hard right wing.
I
know. It does that to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it leaves you speechless. You know, maybe.
But remember, and please bear in mind, this guy ain't going to ADX Florence. All right. Anymore? Did Eric Rudolph go to ADX Florence?
I think they shipped him there.
Finally.
Yeah.
Because the last I heard from Eric Rudolph, you know, another one of these homegrown terrorists.
Yeah.
He was sending taunting letters to his victims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that survived.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it. If torture is so good, why don't we use it here, where we do have literally a ticking time bomb? The guy has said as much.
Yeah, that it will. And the rest, God, they love the graphic, sort of gory stuff. My God, Cossack, he used the Associated Press I guess they are a news organization, to find out what he wanted to know. He asked him about whether Dr. Tiller's clinic was currently operating, and they said no, and he said good.
Yeah.
No more slicing and dicing of the unborn child in the mother's womb, and no more needles of poison into the baby's heart to stop the heart from beating, and no more partial birth abortions.
Not that there's any proof that any of that ever went on in Dr. Tiller's clinic.
Correct. And, you know, speaking of slicing and dicing, maybe it's time for the Razor and Privates reunion on this guy, you know.
You know,
are you
going
to talk?
Indeed. You know, I mean, at the very least, can we get a pair of panties for his head?
Yeah. And a couple of...
you know, maybe rape him with a broom handle or something? I mean, because all...
It's Giuliani time.
Say again?
It's Giuliani time.
Yes, it is. but the fact of the matter is, you know, these are all things that we've been told are not torture.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what. Here, this is how generous a guy I am, Cossack. I would be willing to let Dick Cheney do it to him personally. I don't mean do it to him. I mean torture him.
What?
Wait, because it's not torture, so it wouldn't be. No, just let Dick Cheney waterboard him. Let Dick Cheney attention slap him. Let Dick Cheney wall him.
Well, Cheney is a crip at the moment anyway, isn't he?
Well, that's true.
So we have to get somebody bigger and badder, but...
Well, he could at least pour the water and laugh a lot.
Yeah. Oh, he'd get a kick out of that. But, you know, why can't we bring in the snarling dogs and, you know, have some dog attacks?
Or maybe, you know, maybe some of those, like those old photos, maybe some little, you know, cordless electric drill action.
Oh, that'll work.
Done.
And, you know, we can always attach a few electrodes to give him a jolt from my electrode. And he'll do the mash.
And, by the way, it's not just Roeder. It's also Troy Newman, Cossack. He's president of Operation Rescue.
Oh, yeah.
And he issued a statement today saying that he's thankful that Tiller's clinic will not reopen and thankful that Wichita is now abortion-free. This is a bittersweet moment, bittersweet, for us at Operation Rescue. We've worked very hard for this day, but we wish it could have come through the peaceful legal channels we were pursuing. But if it came via murder, we're happy to know the abortion clinic is closed.
Don't you think that people like Roeder... and Newman, and what's his face, the original founder of that jackass, you know, the founder of Operation...
Oh, Randall Terry. Randall Terry.
Yeah, Randall Terry. Aren't those cases that simply scream out for postpartum abortion?
Retroactive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But this, you're right, Cossack. This guy has said that he knows that there is more coming.
Yeah. Well, spill it. And if you don't, Jack Bauer enters the scene.
I mean, I understand the Tiller family's, reluctance to reopen the clinic.
Oh, yeah.
Because right now it's a magnet for murder.
Yeah.
And they don't want... It's bad enough losing your father, grandfather, what have you, husband. And to think that you would be exposing... more, and so they win. The fat, pasty-faced, doughy white people who are opposed to a woman's right to seek the medical treatment that she and her physician deem is necessary for her well-being, those forces have won. Because, you know what, as we've noted on a number of occasions, Cossack, a rich white woman who needs an abortion or whose daughter needs an abortion, well, they're not going to have any problem getting one.
No.
They can jet off to most any place in the civilized world, the fluid term civilized.
And that's what they were doing prior to Roe. But that's the thing, Bob. I remember I was around. There were two girls in my high school that died from botched back alley abortions. This is not beyond human memory.
No, it's not. And in conjunction, Cossack, with the fact that to this day we have a higher infant mortality rate and a higher postpartum death rate than, you know, Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
This only makes matters worse. And the dirty, rotten, murderous, bloodthirsty sons of bitches have won. Have won. They won this.
Yeah.
And they did it via what Shakespeare called heady murder.
Exactly. They won and we lost.
And women lost. Yeah.
Yeah. Our side lost. I mean, this is the reason why we had to go in for clinic defenses. This is why we had to run escorts to abortion clinics, because these lunatics were trying to get at the women.
Yeah.
Had to physically get between these idiots.
Get up there and scream at the women, yes.
Mm-hmm. They were trying to grab them. They were trying to get into the car with the women, for God's sakes. It was ridiculous. Have we learned nothing?
So what do we... Serious question, Cossack. What do we do when the next one happens? When the next Roeder, when the next Rudolph walks into the next church and blows somebody away, will we take it seriously then?
No. Well, like...
I mean, after all, it's just liberals, right? They're just killing liberals. I mean, it's not like
Right. They're
killing human beings.
Correct. It's like what the Reich is saying. Oh well, this is just a lone kook, just like Atkinson was a lone kook. None of this is tied together, and yet, in both cases, they had conservative, or in Roeder's case, anti-abortion tracts all over their place. Roeder had written before on whatchamajigging. That lunatic blog, Free Republic.
Yes, Freeperville.
How we need to get rid of these people. They are mass murderers. Atkinson is saying, you know, I was just doing what was written. You know, what Billow was saying, what Goldberg was saying. This is a hate crime, remember? And yet, oh no, this is all, that's just incidental, coincidental. This is not a movement. And yet you have Billow out there every freaking night. Kill the baby killer. Kill the baby killer. Executing babies.
I know. Little hard to stomach.
I mean, if I went out on the street and started speechifying for people to attack the local right-wing church, and somebody did something, I'd go to jail for incitement.
You would. As would I.
You know, it's called, you know, crying fire in a crowded theater. Hello?
Yeah, or yelling movie in a crowded firehouse.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't resist it. One of my favorite, yeah. But no, yeah, you're right. You'd be up against it. You'd be answering charges, and it, you know, it doesn't quit with that stuff. I got more. I mean, granted, prayer meeting's not till tomorrow, but I got another stat. I got insanity coming out my ears tonight from the right wing. And somebody, mark my words, Cossack, you're correct. Somebody is going to feel emboldened by this turn of events, both the murder and the subsequent. All we got to do is kill a few people and the clinic will close. Dang, we thought it was going to be hard. We've been going about this wrong way. Honey, hand me my bolt action deer rifle.
Kill them all, the Lord will know his own.
Or the short version, kill them all and let God sort them out.
And you know where that came from, right?
Yeah. I do.
You know, the Crusades. We haven't changed. It's 1,000 years further on, and
we haven't changed, and it goes through a continuum down in history. General Jackson, those northern boys sure fought bravely today. What shall we do? Kill them. Kill them all.
Yep.
Praise Jesus. But he wouldn't fight on Sunday.
Oh, no. That's the Lord's Day. Can't do that.
Cossack, good to hear from you, brother.
My pleasure.
We'll talk soon.
Yep, sir.
All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
From North Florida, holding his own against the teeming hordes of conservatism, that's our buddy the Cossack. About 2 minutes after 7, probably time to find out what's going on in the world of, a couple of different worlds. We'll see what comes next. Your conversations will come after the break. By the way, just a little dose of insanity for you. Now, this before we go away, this is a very short clip. It's only 27 seconds long. My good friend, the librarian, pointed this out to me last night. This goes, am I just a little bit osley on the uptake, and I missed this? And you've already heard it, and I'm just sitting here, you know, it's like laughing at a joke 30 minutes after the punchline's been told. This goes back to January the 20th, 2009 or so, or January of this year. It was posted on YouTube on January 20th, 2009. This is from the Fox News affiliate in Detroit and a segment they have called The Love Doctor. They decided to talk about the relationship between Barack and Michelle Obama. You've probably already heard this, but I'm going to play it anyway because I was just stunned by this. You know, we thought it was bad when the right wing didn't understand what teabagging meant. And started talking about their teabagging efforts. This is worse. The Love Doctor on Fox News Detroit.
We also need to be affectionate. And you can see that with Barack and Michelle as mm-hmm. well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting with one another. And when they kiss one another, if you notice, they actually look at one another and kiss each other on the lips. And that is so very important because couples really need to feel like they're physically bonded.
Now, wait a minute. She didn't really say that. Oh, yes, she did.
Michelle as mm-hmm. well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting.
And, you know, that's not fooled with audio. Wow. Clueless, clueless, clueless. So just a little something to talk about. Talk amongst yourselves. Chat in the chat room. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. Email, whatever. As you please, as you wish. I'm stunned, aren't you? I know. So we'll take a little break. Come back in a couple. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to Activist Radio. You're listening to The Horn. And I'm Bob. They do what to each other?
It's Tuesday, June 9, 2009.
Protesting in Peru. Settling with Shell. Plus...
the House will pass a bill in the Senate. They're not going to be...
Republicans vow to block climate legislation come hell or high water.
Hell or high water is right. That's what I'm worried about. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, yeah, a lot of talk in Congress about climate change legislation, but if the Republicans block it... it goes nowhere. We'll get to that in a second. Here's your news headlines, Desi Doyen.
9 police officers and 25 indigenous Indians were killed and hundreds wounded in Peru over the weekend, where indigenous tribes are protesting logging and oil and gas exploration on their lands without their consent. In the latest round of violence, government forces regained control of a petroleum facility where 38 police officers are being held hostage. Since April, 64 tribal groups have halted development projects by shutting down roads and waterways. The tribes are demanding the repeal of new laws that were passed by the Peruvian president after a free trade agreement with the U.S., which they say makes it easier for foreign multinationals to exploit their land. Critics of the government's policies say little of the wealth has trickled down to indigenous populations.
So is this American oil companies that are in there exploring the land?
These are multinational corporations.
And it's like Mad Max out there, all right?
The BBC is reporting that Royal Dutch Shell has agreed to settle out of court in a case in which the oil giant was accused of assisting the former Nigerian government in human rights abuses and complicity in the murder of 9 anti-oil activists in Nigeria, including author Ken Saro-Wiwa, who was executed. They were all executed, rather, by a military tribunal. The case has been in limbo for 13 years and was finally set to go to trial next week in the U.S. Shell admitted no wrongdoing and no liability in the settlement, saying the $15 million was part of a, quote, process of reconciliation.
Now, this is about empire. These oil companies, they're all over the world, in Peru, Nigeria here, doing anything they damn please.
Well, they
basically
make agreements with the governments of these
right,
these countries, and the agreements generally do not take into account the indigenous tribes, the peoples that actually live
the
on the land where this happens.
There, right.
And they get very little of the royalties that are drawn from these resources.
The people do.
The
and
people
how,
do.
And how much did they settle for here?
$15 million.
$15 million. Well, that's worth how many lives?
Good question. New developments in the sausage-making process, that is the Waxman-Markey Climate and Energy Bill. The Congressional Budget Office released cost estimates for the legislation yesterday. Contrary to Republicans' claims that the bill's provisions will destroy the American economy, the nonpartisan CBO says the climate change bill would actually be a net gain for the federal budget and that new spending would be more than offset by increased federal revenue.
Now, this is great. Is this going to make a difference? We played a clip at the top of the show here that was Senator Inhofe speaking recently at a...
Republicans. Senator
yes,
Inhofe of Oklahoma, who
right,
was speaking at a, let's see, what was that? The Third
Heritage
International Conference on Climate Change.
Right, in front of a big poster that says, is global warming really a crisis? And this is the guy who's called global warming, what, the greatest
hoax ever perpetrated on the American
and
people.
And he's saying, it doesn't matter what they do in the House. Let them do anything in the House. Don't worry about what they do in the House. They're going to pass a bill here in the Senate. We're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let anything pass. 60 senators are going to be needed. They're not going to get it. We're going to stop it. So does it matter? We can talk about, we've been critical of the Democrats, all the compromise they're doing over in the House on this bill. If it's going to be stopped, if it's not going to pass, what does it mean? Is it going to pass?
That's a good question. They had their doubts about whether it would pass out of the House of Energy Committee. Joe Barton, was the ranking member of that committee, said he wasn't going to let that happen. He was wrong. It happened anyway. But that's in the House.
That's in the House. The Senate is
a different
deal. And I think that, you know, they're going to go to the mat on this to simply keep it from passing, period, any way they can.
Well, if that CBO study doesn't make any difference, perhaps this will. A new study published in the journal Science could complicate efforts by dozens of farm state legislators in the House to exempt biofuels from emissions restrictions that are currently in the bill. The House Agricultural Committee chairman, who's a Democrat, Colin Peterson, has declared he's going to hold up this bill unless he gets what he wants. The EPA has proposed calculating full life cycle emissions for biofuels, but that would put corn ethanol on a par with gas. And that was something that Colin Peterson doesn't want.
I'm confused. Explain that to me. He wants to...
He wants to exempt biofuels because if the EPA continues with its new rules, which mm-hmm. will include indirect land use changes where farmers in foreign countries plow over the rainforest so they can plant biofuel crops,
right,
which means that they deforest. And deforestation in this study is what will result if they don't include the full life cycle analysis with biofuels. which means they have a greater emissions when you include deforestation.
So basically exempting all American land use that's used for that purpose from the restrictions, from the EPA restrictions and so forth.
Right. The Port of Long Beach in California, one of the nation's busiest ports, took a giant step forward last week with the introduction of the world's first shoreside electrical grid. Until now, tankers and cargo ships have to idle their diesel engines to keep electrical systems running while they're being unloaded. But now they can shut off the engines and plug into the dockside grid for residual power. Oil tankers are serious air polluters due to the energy required to offload vast amounts of oil while they're sitting at dock. And unfortunately, only two tankers are equipped for this right now.
I'm going to visit Long Beach. All right, for that and so much more, check out Green News Extra at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Debbie Doyen.
This has been your Green News Report.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Hour number two in the Horn Sauna. Come on, Cossack. What kind of branches do they do to beat themselves in the banyas, man? Birch? It's birch, isn't it? Birch branches? Kawaka, kawaka, kawaka. Yeah, fresh out. It's right warm in here. I'm really not kidding. But, you know, what are you going to do? Let's not waste any time. Let us go straightways to the phone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I guess we are in the sandbox for real now, ain't we?
Yeah, we're kind of camped out there, aren't we? Hey, Reverbo.
God, first it's process meat torpedoes, and now this? I'm losing all sense.
Well, you know, I take your comment, and I did get your email. I take your comment very seriously.
there's a debate how we're going to expound on this more.
You know, I'm thank God this is the inner tubes, because if this was government censored buggy whip terrestrial radio, I'd probably already have that $675,000 fine locked right down.
God, then it will feel so good, wouldn't it? Oh, man.
Yeah, you're right. Your question is, which is worse, that the Foxies don't know what that term means or that we do?
Well, it's just kind of...
I mean, there's conversations about Crisco taking place in the chat room as we speak here, okay? I mean, there just is.
Yeah, well, one need only look in the mirror to see who causes this.
Well, I know whose fault that it, you know, some people say that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's all my fault. You know, Jimmy Buffett said it long before I thought of it.
The whole thing we can blame, all this goes back to the terror attack on the Slim Jim plant in North Carolina, and you and I both know this.
Darn tootin'.
I mean, you don't know what it's like. To get on like an interstate bus ride, how incredibly scary it is to have somebody sit next to you who is clearly, let's start over. The ventilation on the bus is not behaving properly. It's a little warm.
When does it ever? Yeah.
Yeah, this person is not, there isn't a lot of room in this guy's clothes, if you follow me.
Yeah.
And he resembles a little too much, say, someone, I don't know, like M. Emmett Walsh, and he proceeds to, like...
Now, there's a reference.
Poop out a package of Slim Jims, and really, at that point, all the guy has to announce is, take this bus to Cuba. Okay? Because in about 20 minutes after this man consumes the said meat torpedoes, we'll do anything he asks to just stop the madness at that point.
Yes.
Please, someone open a window, please.
I've seen dogs turn down Slim Jims.
I mean, you don't even know the meaning of gas attack until something like this takes place. But that's not where I was really going with this. I don't care what people do in the bedroom. I don't even care what people do out in the shed or in the barnyard, as long as it causes no permanent damage and it's not too terribly funny. But, I mean, I would never knock on anybody's door and, you know, accompanied by the nearest, you know, young Republican with a young Republicans for Decency button on and saying, hey, what you doing in there?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like the old gag we tell around here about the guy, the traveling salesman driving down the highway. Sees a guy out in the field, you know, getting it on with the sheep. Stops at the nearest house, knocks on the door. A little boy comes to the door and he goes, son, call the police quick. There's a guy out in the field and he's doing it with the sheep. And the little boy looks at him and says, don't worry about it. That's just dad. Sorry.
Exactly. And as long as the sheep, you know, I don't know how to get out of that one, but I suppose if the sheep is happy and dad is happy and there's no laws been broken, what the heck? But I have a hard time believing that. You know what was great about that clip was that whoever that woman was,
the love doctor, yes.
Yeah, boy, she certainly had a perky disposition when she was discussing all that.
Yes.
I mean, I know that's how I do it. I look adoringly and dreamily.
Well, and the thing is,
I'm doing it.
You know why I think she used that term, Reverbo?
God.
And I can do this without any threat of fine, because she had already seen one of her colleagues up network, you know, in the main house. Lose or not get her contract reviewed. Because she referred to Michelle Obama's, remember this, terrorist fist bump. So
yeah.
She couldn't call it a terrorist fist bump and settled, therefore, on the participial form, fisting.
I think you're right. She was nowhere... into blue territory.
Oh, no. Fox doesn't do subtle. Fox doesn't do the double entendre, okay? I mean, if they want to titillate you, you know, I mean, you know how it is with Bill O'Reilly. He just, you know, puts the bikini-clad babes right up there and drools and starts speaking in tongues about falafel.
Oh, yeah.
Subtle they don't do.
No, they're just bores. But you wish that she had been that perky in discussing that, and perhaps after that we could have gone into some Marquis de Sade, you know, references or something. And, yeah, she was. She just didn't, as the Republican National Committee Chairman, she didn't...
She's innocent.
...with those boys, so she doesn't really know.
I mean, well, you know, after the show was over, some guy, because the talking heads in front of the camera... are the ones who are clueless. It's the ones behind, you know, the guys back there behind the camera running the sound and stuff. They look and they go, honey, you know what you just said about Barack and Michelle? Well, yeah. Do you know what that term means, sweetheart? And that's where somebody leans over to her little perfectly pointy little elfin ear. And the blood drains out of her face. They do that. They do.
Yeah, well,
they do.
I guess I'll have to be the one to remind them all that you want to see what they do, and worse. I think we know what camp that gets done in, and we know who the sexual hypocrites are. We know who the cultural hypocrites are.
Hey, look, you know, every time the Republican National Convention rolls around, all the hookers, especially the ones who specialize in the kinkiest of kinky, head right for Convention City because they know that they're going to make money that like they haven't made in ages.
Well, that guy that had that relationship with our friend Ted Haggard in Colorado. I mean, we were bringing Bibles and bringing all, you know, all sorts of gags and balls and strings, and bringing drugs. The guy was bringing speed with him, and I mean,
well, they didn't take to calling Reverend Haggard the Crystal Methodist for nothing.
No, they have. That's excellent. I have to remember that. What is he up to these days? Is he writing a book or something?
Didn't they do a reality series about him on HBO? Yeah, I think they did, because there was some sort of revelatory nonsense that came out of that, out of the HBO PR department. It was something about. If I recall, it was something about, I'm not gay. I never was gay. I just happened to a few oomps.
Yeah. Well, then they sent him to that to the anti-gay farm.
And that didn't take.
Well, he didn't have to stay the whole month, evidently. I think there was some. All these people have to do is just say they're sorry, real loud, so Jesus hears them. I mean, according to them, and I guess they'll bring him back into the fold. I guess. I don't know. I haven't, because he's needed. He definitely. The world is missing a good thing without Ted. God.
But that's okay because, you know, David Vitter is still walking free in the Senate. And, look, one of these days he's going to get caught. I mean, I've got a photograph here, and I keep getting sucked into this trap of talking about photographs on the radio. But, you know, I call that dancing about architecture. I still love that phrase. I owe David in Tennessee for that one. I cackled like a hen laying eggs the first time he said that to me. See, it just takes a minute. But I've got a photograph here of Lindsey Graham and Joe Lieberman. And Lindsey Graham is standing at the microphones with two index fingers held up very, you know, parallel to one another, in close proximity, with his head tilted like he's looking at him, comparing. And I'm just, the captions you could write.
You were the one who was telling me, that's probably pretty common in your life for someone to start off a sentence. You were the one who, but anyway.
Most of the times when Agnes is talking to me and she's like remotely worked or angry or something, it starts with, well, you're the one who.
There you go. But so, Graham, this is the biggest, like the secret in Washington that everybody already knows about. This is the biggest one.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge closet case, I'm told.
Oh, God.
But he can't come out because of don't ask, don't tell, because then he'd lose his Roger Ramjet, Reserve Officers, Air Force, Judge of Other People job. He's apparently an Air Force Reserve judge in the Judge Advocate General program. Like, when a guy comes out and says, by the way, I'm gay, Lindsey Graham gets to sit on a judge panel and say, well, we're going to throw your gay butt out of the military, son.
Wouldn't it be hard for people to go to pretend at that level all that time? And I'm not talking about Graham. I'm talking about the rest of the world. I mean, if you already know the punchline to the joke, I don't see where the credibility is. I mean, the whole thing makes no sense to me. But
I know, I know. And the bartender looks at the horse and says, why the long face?
Exactly. Oh, God.
I love it when you get to the point where you can just tell the punchlines and everybody chuckles anyway, because my jokes have become so old and stale and chestnutty. But I don't know how you live inside your own skin under those circumstances. But, you know, going back to what Cossack was talking about with those re-mentioning the compartmentalized lives, Reverbo, I don't know how you live one of those either. You know, and like I said, I watched one of those today. I went down to this appeal board hearing for the permit for the mountaintop removal nightmare going on above our home.
Yeah.
And I watched the lawyer for the coal company just talk about the people in my community as though we have trouble tying our own shoes every day. And I sat there, Reverbo, in stunned amazement. And for me to sit silent anywhere is, you know, a challenge.
I told you to leave those Slim Jims at home. You won't listen.
Yeah, I know.
I had to say that.
I know. I expected it. But... You know, just watching his little compartmentalized life because, you know, he works for a law firm called Jackson and Kelly, which is, in fact, the largest law firm in West Virginia. It was formed shortly after the end of the Civil War, if I recall correctly. And it was formed for the purpose, because the railroads were coming and the coal companies were coming, it was formed for the purpose of dispossessing the hillbillies of their land and their minerals. And it goes on to this day. and on and on and on. And just watching this guy walk around like he thought he was some sort of decent human being, knowing full well what he was doing to a community and doing to the environment around community and to individual human lives, it was like watching one of those grainy old black and white the photographs of the marching brown shirts in Italy.
God.
Because there's not that much difference between the two.
They
have power, they have authority, and they will wield it like a cudgel. Because that whole thing that we were in was all just a pro forma rubber stamp. I mean, the guy even sat there and told the members of the appeal board, Reverbo, that they had no authority in the case. That they had to bow in abject deference to the decision that the Department of Environmental Permitting, not Protection, Permitting, had already reached. And I knew right then and there that, you know, it's a good thing I'm not involved with any of that kind of thing, because I'd be over the table.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked with, you know, the fix is in. The fix was in on that.
You know, do I amuse you? Do I exist to provide humor for you? Am I a clown? Yeah.
Sorry.
I know. I understand.
I don't know what else to say. I do know what else to say. I heard that Shell, I think it was Shell Oil, they settled out of court and they're going to have to pony up $15 million, which is nothing, to the Nigerians who brought that suit against them.
Yeah, for the hanging deaths of people who objected to having their homes ruined by oil exploration and exploitation.
Yeah, an entire $15 million.
Yeah, don't spend it all in one place, guys. Yeah, $15 million, that won't even show up on the quarterly profit and loss statement. And, of course, Shell got to do this at the same time that they said, well, we're paying the money, mind you, but it's not like we're admitting liability. We didn't do it, but we're writing the check because we're just tired of listening to you.
But they want credit for writing the check, even though they don't want credit for anything. But I want everybody to watch, you know, remember we wrote the check, but we didn't have to.
Because we're just that nice.
Why? How can we just go on pretending 24/7 like this? The whole world just is in this huge, lives a huge pretense. I just don't understand. And what is up with this guy in prison calling the AP?
Quick as you figure that out, Reverbo, let me know. Because I don't know.
Well, this one really does defy everything. I think you're being treated like a criminal. I agree with, what's his name, Cossack? I mean, it's time to just get out the waterboard for this guy.
I got, well, why not? It's not torture.
No, and it's evidently fairly effective. He'll tell us all the people who aren't going to be attacking clinics. He'll give us a ream after ream of bad information.
Whom we can then go and waterboard them.
Well, we can use that as justification for, you know, changing the, trying to change Roe versus Wade or something. They'll think of something.
But they really did win with this. And it scares the dickens. It scares the dickens. What happens when one of these moron right-wingers mistakes the address for the ear, nose, and throat clinic for the address of the abortion clinic? What happens when he does that, Reverbo?
Well, he will.
Because, I mean, we're not talking about the sharpest knives in the drawer.
Well, may I remind you that about a month ago, the same sort of conversation about who won and who lost was, we were talking about on your show in regards to blowing off the tops of mountains.
Yeah.
So they did not win. This is just a setback.
Yeah. No, because there's this whole bit of kabuki theater that the hardcore right-wing anti-woman movement has engaged in. Of, you know, this is a bitter. I mean, my God, to say that it was a bittersweet day. The murder of another human being, Reverbo, was referred to by the head of Operation Rescue as a bittersweet day. So that tells me,
beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond any reasonable doubt, that tells me, Reverbo, that they're going to do it some more. And that there are more crazies out there. You know, just like last night with the story of the guy from, of course, Utah, who withdrew the money and said, you know, we're on a mission to blow away the president. For every idiot that runs his mouth in a bank in Utah, there are some that are keeping very, very quiet. This is a scary time. Because these are scary people.
You use that word emboldened, and it's a very scary word. It's like that word activated.
Radicalized.
Radicalized, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
40-ounce mall liquors, and you're ready to go.
Sure. And remember, we still don't know, suicides notwithstanding, we still don't know who sent the anthrax around. But we are pretty sure it wasn't that guy. I mean, they're out there. I don't mean to get all science fiction-y, you know. They walk among us.
They do. Everybody who listens to your show, calls into your show, is well aware of that. I'm afraid Susan is aware of that almost to a fault. But I, God.
But I mean, you got to keep your eyes open. And the fact of the matter is, details of the explosion there in North Carolina at the ConAgra plant come out, ammonia leak? An ammonia leak? You need ammonia to make Slim Jims?
This goes to my story about the bus ride and the take this bus to Cuba. Yes, you do. They are loaded with ammonia.
Oh, dear God. Probably so. I knew a little old lady one time whose specialty was ammonia cookies.
Oh my!
And they were delightful.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. Not take his bus to Cuba. I should say take his bus to Tehran. That's where we are today.
Yeah.
Or I'll eat another Slim Jim. Or I'll detonate another Slim Jim.
I've got a box of Slim Jims, and by God, I'm not afraid to use them.
Anyway, I just had to call. The show was taking a turn for the weird, and at that point, time to make a phone call.
Well, and you saved me from myself, and I do appreciate it, Reverbo. I sincerely do, because I didn't want to sit there and wax rhapsodic or otherwise on they do what to each other?
Oh, man, I'm sure the chat room is having a ball with that. It's like a whole teabag thing. I mean, I'm not buying for 1 minute that they don't know what they're talking about. They just act like they don't. Here's a great one. I'll leave you with this one. You're talking about just jokes. At this point, you don't even care. People always know the punchline. You just haven't heard it in a while. Here's a Groucho that's just for the ages. I think Chico asked him in Coconuts at some point, how do I get a hold of Mrs. Claypool? Groucho says, I don't know. She's awfully ticklish.
Closer, closer, closer. If I get any closer, I'll be in back here. Herr Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool, Mrs. Claypool, Herr Gottlieb, Herr Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool, Mrs. Claypool, Herr Gottlieb. Now we got enough for bridge. Yeah, I love it. Margaret Dumont, God rest her soul.
Mr. Summer. Yeah, she doesn't get any better than Groucho either. I mean, my daughter was visiting me vaguely. Remember when I went up to D.C., and we came down here and we were watching. It's so great. When I can introduce the young people to, when the young people don't, in their haste to keep moving forward, that they don't reject the greatness of the past. She, I think, is going to spend the rest of her life trying to be Harpo Marx, and I just wish I was there for every priceless moment.
Absolutely, and, you know, the first time you get a young'un actually willing to sit still long enough to sit down and watch any number of things, Never Give a Sucker an Even Break, Hotel yeah. International,
That's a good one. That's a great one.
My Little Chickadee.
The opera. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. The Bank Dick. Yeah, I love the moment in My Little Chickadee, where that really scrawny cowboy sits down to play poker with Fields, and Fields is brokered in the Ten Commandments, and the cowboy says, "Is this a game of chance?" And without missing a lick, Fields looks at him and says, "Not the way I play it."
someone, I think I read somewhere that Fields actually had like 50 cases of like scotch stashed in his attic, just in case.
Yeah, he wasn't going. Yeah, he wasn't going through that prohibition thing again.
You know, just in case things got a little weird, he didn't want to run out. I mean, $50,000 of booze. Oh God.
Yeah, anyway, beautiful stuff. If you can get him to pay attention to it. Well, it's in black and white. That means that was made back when Abraham Lincoln was president, right? No.
No.
I know.
Oh, hell. I mean, the great part is that then when they're 20 years old, they're just crying along with me. We're laughing so hard. But, yes, you have to get this started when you're about 8.
Indeed. Reverbo.
All right.
We know how it works.
We do.
Make it personal.
It is. So long, everyone, and I'll catch up with you later.
All right, later. Bye now.
Bye.
Horn critic at large, Reverbo, do yourself a favor. Go watch. You know, just because, as Wordsworth said, the world is too much with us. Go watch Duck Soup, A Night at the Opera, A Day at the Races, The Bank Dick, Hotel International. Ferg. Oh, you will. You will. You can stop saying it any time now. Stop. Ferg, okay, everybody, this is a teaching moment. Just bear with me. Ferg, you do understand that a slang euphemism for detective is dick, correct?
I'm going to be a dick when I grow up.
It's hanging over the rim and I ain't touching it. I just ain't touching it. You know, just to relax, check one of those out. It will make you feel manifestly better. I promise it will. By the way, our buddy David in South Carolina notes that the man Rachel Maddow interviewed last night about Dr. Tiller's assassination, and it wasn't just a murder, it was an assassination. Even went so far as to equate the assassination with quote-unquote terrorism of the far left Weather Underground. Says David, I don't recall the Weather Underground marching into churches and mowing down people as they worshipped. Yeah, me neither. He also queries, why is CNN asking, would you be willing to pay higher taxes to pay for universal health care, as a question on the Situation Room? I don't recall them asking if I'm willing to pay higher taxes to invade Iraq or Afghanistan, or if I'm willing to pay higher taxes to enforce the death penalty. It's peculiar that it's implied to only be expensive if it actually does some good. Maybe this is just another instance of push-polling. No, it's another instance, David, between you and me. It's another instance of the for-profit media hard at work, hammer and tongs, trying to kill any hope, any possibility that we get relief from corporate America. Because, of course, corporate America is what keeps the for-profit media in business. And David also said, he agrees that the right wing are scary. He said, when I checked the logs from my blog, I noticed a bunch of hits from Idaho right after I wrote an article about the Dr. Tiller murder. It freaked me out a little. But see, that's not being freaked out. David, that's being prudent, cautious. Because, yeah, they're a dangerous bunch. Now, going back to that thing I mentioned a little bit ago, see if this doesn't make you a little bit crazy. This news article that is accompanied by this photograph of Lindsey Graham with the parallel index fingers, and it was this big. The headline over at Think Progress says, Lieberman-Graham torture photo ban will be added to every piece of legislation that comes down the pike. The scoop on this goes to Jane Hampshire over at Fire Dog Lake. And what it boils down to is Lindsey Graham and Joe Lieberman are incensed that their amendment to the war supplemental that would allow the Obama administration to suppress any, this is a quote from the language of the amendment, any photograph taken between September 11, 2001 and January 22, 2009 relating to the treatment of individuals engaged, captured, or detained, unquote, after September 11th by U.S. forces. Can you imagine, think about that for a minute. Imagine how broad that is. That could conceivably apply to the people who were rounded up, herded together like cattle during the Republican National Convention in 2004. But what they mean is they're talking about photographs, the photographs that we have not seen but have had described to us, photographs of children being raped in front of their parents helpless to do anything about it. And it was photographed. And we're not allowed to see it, I guess because, well, according to Senators Graham and Lieberman, Lieberman says, well, what it boils down to is they've threatened to hold the Senate hostage over this amendment. I mean, can't somebody just drop a postcard to Lindsey Graham and say, you know, sit down and shut up, or I show the pictures of you in the tutu? I don't know. They said they had a press conference this afternoon. And they say now that they're going to add that amendment to the FDA regulation of the tobacco bill that's on the floor of the Senate right now. Joe Lieberman went on to say, we're going to vote against cloture on the bill, and I'm going to do everything I can to see if I can convince other Democrats to do that. We're not just going to roll over because some folks in the House don't like this amendment. Listen, Joe, when you're standing next to a closet case like Lindsey Graham, I wouldn't use a phrase like roll over. We're going to do everything we can to hold up the supplemental appropriations bill until we're sure that this amendment prohibiting the release of these dangerous photographs is on that bill. And then we'll continue to do everything we can to attach it to other legislation to slow up the process. Then Lindsey Graham went on to say, Mom, Lindsey Graham's in the closet and he won't come out. Sorry, South Park moment. He said, these photos, if they are released, will be used by the enemy to incite violence as they walk down these streets. Huh? Which streets? Begin with the walking. And so these two, over photographs that humiliate, yes, and embarrass, yes, and shame, yes, the United States of America are willing to stop everything in government in its tracks until they get their way. If they are released, they'll be used by the enemy to incite violence as they walk down these streets. Man, that's some patriotism. Because we don't have anything to do. We don't have anything that needs doing. We're not in any kind of a crisis. We're not at a point, we don't have the highest unemployment in the United States since Ronnie Reagan was working his economic miracle. No, that's not happening. We don't have an American populace to get back to work. We don't have a health care crisis, God no.
We don't have any of that. We have all the time in the world for Lindsey Graham and Joe Lieberman to hold the entire democratic process hostage until they get their petty, petulant ways. What's the point of the legislation? Didn't Barack Obama just do exactly what they wanted done? Didn't the Obama administration say they were going to release the photographs and then decide they weren't? Did I miss something? Because I could have sworn that's what the story was. They said they would, then they decided they wouldn't. And so Lindsey Graham and Joe Lieberman are going to do what exactly? Tell him to do it some more? What happens if these photographs are released by a court of competent jurisdiction, senators? What are you going to do to them? You going to go and hold the docket hostage too, you nasty little creeps? Because America can't handle the truth, I suppose. Indeed. And because these photos, if they are released, will be used by the enemy to incite violence as they walk down these streets. I didn't think the enemy were walking down these streets yet. I thought that only happened after all the concentration camp prisoners from Guantanamo were actually brought here for judicial process. What is, you know, and this is one of those Rick Goodner courtesy phone moments, what is the appropriate human response to a photograph of a little boy or a little girl being forcibly raped by an American in front of their parents in order to extract information from the parents? What is the appropriate human response to that? Is the appropriate human response to, oh, dang, that's funny, look, they're Muslims. I don't think that's the appropriate human response. I think the appropriate human response is shock, visceral nausea, horror, and as long as that response is kept from us, our emotional response, our psychological response to what's going on and what has gone on in Iraq and Afghanistan and in our secret prisons is a psychologically invalid response that leads us possibly into damaging conduct. At least as far as I can make any sense of it. Don't you have to have the facts in your possession before you can make an informed judgment about those facts? Don't you? It's not who it might. They're not worried in the least about what Muslim might be incited. They're worried about you and me being incited. And they're not worried about us being incited to the point of going out and putting a brick through the window. We don't do that. We're on the side of the debate that doesn't go out and shoot people in order to try to make some political point. No. Actually, what they're afraid of is that you and I will be incited to get off our butts and try to do something about it, legally, peacefully, and appropriately. You know, a terrorist like Roeder, well, you can rough him and cuff him and stuff him into jail and let him hold Associated Press conferences.
And you've pretty much taken care of him. But if you and I, we see these photographs, and we start building a groundswell of outrage and a grassroots movement whose roots reach into the horror that was perpetrated indirectly upon us, well, that's the real scary stuff where these monsters are concerned. Because they know they're caught. Dick Cheney hears the bat wings fluttering around his ears. And he keeps trying to, you know, knock them away with his oddly waving little tentacled hands. And the bats keep coming back. Dick, I gotta tell you, the bats are gonna keep fluttering around your ears until they're the last thing on this planet that you hear. Because, Dick, you put the bats there. They're your bats. They're an extension of your madness. They're an extension, Dick, of your psychosis. And they ain't going anywhere. So never mind what Lindsey Graham refers to as the enemy being incited to violence as they walk down these streets. I thought they were going to march. Isn't that what you right-wingers say, Lindsey, that if we're soft on terror, they'll just invade us tomorrow? I have this vision of... No. Again, a movie reference. Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca looking at the evil Nazi Colonel Strasser. What would you think if we were in New York, Mr. Blaine? Well, there are some parts of New York I would recommend not even you try to invade. I have no confidence whatsoever that all the right-wing gun nuts, the Second Amendment defenders, no, we only said we wanted these guns in case the government tried to come and get them. We ain't going to fight no invaders or nothing. We didn't sign on for that. Wouldn't trust them, not even a little bit. Because they're cowardly right-wingers. They only like to use their guns when the other person is unarmed. You know. Like Dr. Tiller. But if we publish the photographs, they will walk down these streets, our enemies, and they'll be incited to violence. That's the end of hour number two. Hour number three on the way. Chime in. Don't be shy. Never lost a caller yet that I didn't accidentally hang up on, that is. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on, is the number. This is the horn. Listener-supported liberal activist.
Now every time I go for the mailbox, gotta hold myself down. Listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. On Tuesday, GM began sending out notices to salaried workers outlining reductions in benefits they can expect once they retire. According to a memo sent to workers by CEO Fritz Henderson, the changes will impact current salaried workers who will be retiring in the future. Dental, vision, and extended care coverage will be eliminated from the retiree health care plan for non-Medicare retirees. GM is also mailing out more early retirement offers to workers as the company seeks to slim its workforce. Workers have until July 24th to take the option, which for some workers includes a payout of up to $115,000 and a $25,000 vehicle voucher. This is the company's fourth buyout offer since 2006, and the last round from earlier this year saw 7,600 workers taking the offer. GM announced yesterday it would be cutting 887 jobs at a Wentzville, Missouri plant. The cuts will take place on August 10th and cut the plant's workforce in half. The job cuts will come after a plan to idle the plant starting this week until July 27th. New York State employee unions have reached a compromise with New York Governor David Paterson that could save the state $30 billion over 30 years. Under the compromise, future employees will contribute 3% of salaries to their pensions for the lifetime of their careers, and will additionally raise the retirement age from 55 to 62. Currently, workers only contribute to pensions for the first 10 years of their careers. Workers will now need to wait 10 years to be vested in the state's pension plan, instead of the current 5 years. The state will also offer 4,500 workers buyouts of $20,000, and end a plan to cut 8,700 jobs. The deal doesn't cover state workers in New York City, police officers, teachers, or firefighters. In Los Angeles on Tuesday morning, city workers protested in front of City Hall, expressing their outrage at proposed layoffs. According to a statement issued by a coalition of unions representing 22,000 city workers, the city council was being asked to abandon a short-sighted plan that would devastate city services. The council is seeking to initiate every other Friday unpaid furloughs, set to start on July 1st. Overall, there could be 26 furlough days and 1,600 job cuts, but according to the city, on Monday, 1,200 of those jobs being targeted are already vacant. Los Angeles is facing a $529 million budget shortfall.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Almost 4 minutes past the hour. Well, it is 4 minutes past the hour now. God, sometimes that reminds me of Mr. Kimball in Green Acres. Sorry. Just getting through the evenings and the hours as best I can. I wanted to give you a quick update. You know, I'm forever mentioning what a heroic group Coal River Mountain Watch are. And there is further evidence of that this evening. Although it's not the kind of evidence you like to talk about. It's not good news. When no one else or very few others would, Coal River Mountain Watch filed a lawsuit against Massey Energy and against a Massey subsidiary. Well, you've heard me talk on a number of occasions about Marsh Fork Elementary. You know, that's the elementary school, grades K through 5, maybe preschool through 5, I'm not sure. I think so. that sits in the shadow of a dam made of dirt and rock that is holding back about 3 billion gallons of death in the form of coal mine waste. Well, if you go, for instance, to crmw.net and you start wandering through the photographs, you'll see a picture of Marsh Fork Elementary, and you'll see that it's not just the sludge dam or, what's the pretty word that the coal companies like? The impoundment. It's not just that. It's the fact that sitting next to Marsh Fork Elementary is a coal preparation plant and if you want to see the let me make sure this is the right photograph real quick. Yeah, if you want to see exactly what we're talking about, go to wvgazette.com and go to Ken Ward Jr.'s blog, Coal Tattoo. He's got an abundantly clear photograph of the preparation plant sitting next to Marsh Fork Elementary School. And that prep plant does indeed sit right there. And it's got this massive coal silo that is literally within a stone's throw of children trying to learn. And be prepared, because you're going to be angry when you see this. If you go and read the blog post at Coal Tattoo, breaking news, court okays Massey silo near school, you might be led at first to believe that that's referring to that silo that, Coal River Mountain Watch had sued and said, no, that silo is not appropriate. Well, that's not what it's about. Because Massey Energy wasn't happy with one silo full of deadly poison next to a bunch of school children trying to learn in the Coal River Valley. No, brothers and sisters, no. Sunshine, they wanted two. Two. And, what Massey wants, Massey gets. So what they did is they just jumped right out there and started to work on that second silo, only it turned out that the maps had been dummied up. That when they didn't like the boundaries there, they just made some more. Well, speaking for the children where the children had no voice, Coal River Mountain Watch sued and took the case all the way through a Department of Environmental Permitting or Protection hearing, and took the case through the appeal board, DEP appeal board, same sort of thing where I was today. And once it had been rubber stamped there, took it to the Circuit Court of Kanawha County, the Court of Competent Jurisdiction, where Circuit Judge Duke Bloom rubber stamped it again. But Coal River Mountain Watch are persistent, if nothing else. And they are so much else. And so they in turn pursued this to the highest court that West Virginia has to offer, the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals. And by a vote of 5-0 today, the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals told the children who go to school and try to learn next to vast agglomerations of deadly poison to stick it in their ears. I appreciate the sensitivity, I genuinely do, and I'm not being sarcastic. I appreciate the sensitivity displayed by newly minted Justice Menas Ketchum. But it ain't enough. As Ken Ward Jr. reports, Menace Ketchum wrote that in determining the issue in the case, namely whether permit maps approved by the Department of Environmental Permitting or Protection or permit markers located on the ground at a mine site, and God only knows what a permit marker means to these clowns, the monsters at Massey. Hey, mark like you mean it. Go there and drive a stake in the ground. We'll say that's a permit marker. Whether permit markers located on the ground at a mine site are the official legal boundary of a surface mining permit. Justice Ketchum wrote as follows. This case involves the interpretation of several statutes. The sterile, narrow, legal question presented by CRMW's appeal is simple. Under the West Virginia Surface Coal Mining and Reclamation Act, otherwise known as SMCRA, and the Federal Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act, also SMCRA, is the permit area of a surface mine operation defined solely by the maps submitted with the original permit application? Or may the permit area be defined by reference to the maps and markers buried? Hey! Look what we just dug up, boys! It's a permit boundary marker! Had no idea that was here! By reference to the maps and markers buried or installed on the mining site. Ketchum continues, this case does not involve the public policy effects of these acts. It's more of that compartmentalization we've been talking about. This case does not involve the public policy effects of these acts. We are aware of the extensive public concern about Appalee Goals Coal's decision to construct a second coal silo less than a football field's length from an elementary school. The DEP has determined it must allow the construction to occur in deference to statutory law. No, Justice Ketchum, no. That's not what the DEP determined. The DEP determined that the DEP must behave the way that the DEP always does and act in deference to the coal company. Because the coal rules this state. Not one member of the Supreme Court stood up for the children. Not one. The DEP has determined it must allow the construction to occur in deference to statutory law. The wisdom or desirability of these decisions are outside the province of the judicial branch. Because, see, if they'd ruled against Massey, big bad Don Blankenship would have been out somewhere in front of a microphone screaming about activist judges. Can you imagine? Just for reference purposes, the term of a member of the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals, and they are elected, as we have recently been reminded by the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS. The term of a justice on the West Virginia Supreme Court is 12 years. You serve those 12 years and you get your pension. And your pension is 80% of something on the order of $150,000 a year. The rest of your life. Even with that in hand, you can't buck Big Coal. Even with a direct slap at Brent Benjamin, the West Virginia legislature will not have the guts to impeach his sorry ass. It is the duty of this court to enforce legislation unless it runs foul of the state or federal constitutions. Jesus, how can you poison children and have that not run foul of the state and federal constitutions? I don't know. That one amendment, is it the 9th? Is it the 10th? That says all rights not expressly given under the Constitution are reserved unto the people. and under the states. Have I got that right? It's been a while. I think children have the explicit reserved right not to be poisoned. But, of course, the five black-robed jurists on the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals disagree with me. Massey has the right to poison children. Massey has the right to build that silo right in the middle of Mrs. Jarvis's fifth-grade classroom if they want to, as long as they dig up a marker. Hey, what's that under your desk, teach? Oh, it looks like a marker. That's our marker. We're building the silo right here, boys. Four years this case has been going on. 4 years Coal River Mountain Watch has been standing up for the children at Marsh Fork. 4 years. And I'll bet you by the time children return, because school's out now, I'll bet you by the time the children return to school in the fall, there'll be a big, shiny, new coal silo right next to them with a haze of filth and dust emanating from it and into the classrooms at Marsh Fork Elementary. And, of course, the ladies' auxiliary of the Friends of Coal. I wish I was joking. May very well be ready to introduce their Coal is Good for You unit in the fourth grade. Some stuff. Some stuff is harder to stomach than others. I'm horrified to know that, at least in part, the schools my children go to burn coal for heat in the winter. You can drive by the school in winter and see an acrid, yellowy, toxic fog pouring out of the smokestack and into the sky. And I wonder about the children around here who honk on asthma inhalers and wonder how much things like that have to do with it. I wonder indeed. But it can't compare. It can't compare with an entire toxic complex sitting hard by a school. And the knowledge of the adult parents of the children, some of them are adults at least, many of them are children having children. This is, after all, West Virginia. The parents whose eyes are open and whose eyes have not been blinded by the coal company or the checks that they write or their Friends of Coal this or their Friends of Coal that. Hey, we're going to have Hank Williams next July 4th. I tell you what, that Bocephus, he's something. Ain't he? Yeah. Nah, he's really not. I think he's played in the past, but no, I don't know who's played this year. Anyway, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, as the book puts it, I can't imagine what it must be like to live there and know that you have no alternative but to send your child there. You work a job Daddy works a job. Maybe you both work two jobs. Homeschooling is out. And there are no private schools. And your child has a toxic Hobson's choice, the school by the silo, or no school at all. There is a move afoot to get a new school for these children. You can visit penniesofpromise.org, just like it sounds, penniesofpromise.org, and see what you can do to help in that regard. You know, it's interesting that the Obama administration EPA, one of the things that they did that was semi-inspiring was to say that they're going to go around and they're going to look at the 50 most endangered school sites in the country that are affected by toxic surroundings. You'd kind of think Marsh Fork would have to be on the top 10 of that list, wouldn't you? There you go thinking again. There we all went thinking again. Because 'tain't true. It's not even on the list. Not only not top 10, not top 20, not top 50. Ain't on the list. And we just have to eat it and smile. And I tell you, it's hard to do. Coal River Mountain Watch is hanging on by a thread, just like the horn is hanging on by a thread. And we both know that there is still so much work to do that the fight has become as desperate as it ever was. That it may be more desperate now than it was when we were dealing with the devil we knew in the form of the George W. Bush administration. I walked into the massive headquarters of the Department of Environmental Protection in Kanawha City today and saw a signed photograph of West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin, D. Cole. Signed with a Sharpie, "Thanks for protecting West Virginia's environment, Joe." If he wants to thank somebody for protecting West Virginia's environment, he needs to talk to Coal River Mountain Watch. He needs to send the photo there. If he wants to thank someone for standing up for the environment in West Virginia, he needs to send a hand-signed thank you note to Bill Price, the Environmental Justice Coordinator for the Sierra Club. He needs to drop a note to OVEC, the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition, and thank them. He needs to thank the Highlands Conservancy. Oh, but no, they're referred to as environmental extremists. They don't understand that coal is all we got here. It's all we're good for. We're too dumb to do nothing but poison ourselves. Poison. Tough to stomach. Tough to stomach. I've heard some comments along about this story. The West Virginia Supreme Court has once again proven that coal company profits outweigh law, science, justice, and basic human decency. The court has given Massey Energy the go-ahead to put more tons of fine coal dust in the air that children breathe every school day during their crucial development years. Placing a second coal silo within 300 feet of the school is a clear violation of the intent of the law, which is to protect the public. Now more than ever, Governor Joe Manchin and the Raleigh County School Board must do everything in their extensive power and influence to get these kids a safe new school in their own community. There's a lot of anguish this evening. And it's not esoteric, and it's not... perspective, it's real. What would you do? This is not a rhetorical question. Pick up the phone. What would you do if you had a 4-year-old turning 5 over the summer and you knew that they were going to start school in a toxic waste zone? What would you do? How do you speak with any degree of earnestness about the freedoms upon which the United States are allegedly founded when you know that you're telling that to a child who doesn't even have the right to breathe clean air or drink clean water because that child lives in the resource colony of Appalachia? State boundaries don't matter. There's no West Virginia, there's no Kentucky, no Virginia, no Tennessee, no North Carolina. There is Appalachia. There is coal country. And if you have any intent whatsoever to speak honestly to that child, and that child lives within the geographic confines of Appalachia where coal is, all you can do is apologize and say, "Baby, I didn't mean to do this to you. We thought we were going to raise you somewhere good. We thought we were going to get you away from the rat race and the dangers. And we brought you unto the very jaws, the maw of death itself. And baby, no one will help you. Mama loves you. Daddy loves you. Granny loves you and Granddad loves you. But baby, no matter how much we love you, we cannot protect you. Because this region we live in is peopled by a handful of folks who think more of money than they think of you. And baby, that's just your reality. How would you feel after that speech? What kind of cancerous knot would you feel wadded up in the pit of your stomach to speak those words, that kind of fact-based truth? To a child or children. Is Coal River Mountain Watch's work important? You can answer that question for yourself. Simply by asking, is it worth it? Is it worth it that one day parents won't have to make speeches like that to their children? And if that day comes, it will be because there was a Coal River Mountain Watch. And because there was a you. And because of what we all did together. This is the horn.
think it's fine building jumbo planes or taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want to if you want, 'cause you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play? Lorry loads pumping petrol gas, and you make them long and you make them tough, but they just go on and on, and it seems that you can't get off. Oh, I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play?
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past
is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dream. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you. And you,
24 minutes before the hour. 24 minutes left in the program, therefore about, 20 minutes of good conversation left, should you wish to avail yourself of same, and you are welcome to do so. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. If you've got some sort of unlimited long-distance dialing plan, do not hurt yourself, but if you want to just dial straight in, it's 304-658-3333, and email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. @gmail.com. Songs are tough to listen to, aren't they? I'm sorry. Maybe it's better when I scream like some sort of damn banshee instead of keeping my voice low and even and talking about these realities. Maybe it's better when I give vent to the rage that burns inside of me instead of trying to hold on to some semblance of control. Maybe it is. But sometimes I'm afraid that the import of what I'm trying to get across to you might be lost in the screaming. And I don't want to run that risk. Now, there's stuff out there that I could save for a prayer meeting Wednesday. I'm almost inclined not to, but there's some. We'll see if we get to that before the end of the program. Because there is some crazy out there that deserves sharing. There's video out there of a speech at last night's Republican Senate House joint fundraising dinner. There's not enough of them on either side to hold one of their own, so they have to do it together. And frankly, along with the rest of the file that we shall tentatively name, these people are frightening. There is the audio of one of the speeches given last night. This thing runs about 10 minutes. I'm going to see if I can get through it without bursting a blood vessel. Because this stuff does make me scream. These people are scary, and they're scary all the way from the toe jam between their pedal digits to the split ends of their hate-infested hair. Of all the people who invite to your joint session fundraising dinner, well, they're running out of right-wing actors, what with Ron Silver dropping dead a few months back. So who did they call? Why, they called the Midnight Cowboy himself. the Repiglicans called John Voight. And he delivered. He brought the red meat, baby! I guess I gotta endorse, Brother Albert, the, sage of Southwest Wisconsin. I gotta endorse his view on this. I'm glad they're doing this publicly. My only concern is that it isn't being seen more publicly. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you John Voight, actor. Geez, he hasn't had applause like that in ever.
Thank you, sir. Do not tell me it can't be done.
Well, okay, I won't, but first you have to tell it what it is you want to do. Jeez. Do I ever act that enigmatic? Because if I do, pick up, you know, call, send me any, Bob, you're acting like John Voight. And I'll stop, I promise. What's the applause for? Do not tell me it cannot be done. Thunderous applause. Well, okay.
Sometimes you make movies and they're just so relevant, you know.
Which one did you make that was so relevant, John?
I was, I gave a speech this morning to the National Republican Congressional Committee, and it was a success, thank God. And I'm very honored to be here with you, and I'm very grateful for Paul Ryan's asking me to be here and trusting me to express myself. So.
Okay, so far, I gotta give him props. He is not standing up there and jiggling like Rush Limbaugh. And sweating like a junkie on a Jones. So he's got that going for him, which is good.
I would like to, if I can, do a shortened version of that speech just as a calling card so you know, so the wider group of you knows where I stand.
Did he just say the wider group of you? Just asking.
And I started out by saying, I guess we're all gathered here today. And by the way, is this microphone good and everybody hears me properly? It's good?
Yay, we have working microphones! You know, when you're the Repiglican Party, you gotta have something to cheer about. And if working microphones are what you've got, cheer your freaking brains out.
I guess we gather here today to talk about ideas, positive inroads we can make to gain back our power, to become triumphant in the next election.
Our power. Did you get that? Our power. Not the power of the people. Our power. Who's in the room? You know, this is another one of those George W. Bush moments. What was that he said, what was it, back on the campaign trail? He said it two or three times. Some people say that you're the rich, or the very rich. I call you my base. Remember that? This is that.
We certainly know that the Democratic Party thinks our voices have been silenced.
Well, you know, here's to him for saying Democratic Party. Okay. Another gold star for John.
They boast that they're the winners, and we have nothing to say. Well, we certainly know how they won. Obama's...
Okay, I got to hear this.
His path to the presidency has been thoroughly documented. We may want to look at some of those strategies as we build toward the 2010 elections. Certainly, at the outset, the Democrats fulfilled their mission to paint President Bush as a warmonger. And once they were able to reach all...
Oh, John, that wasn't a paint job. There wasn't any painting involved. That we didn't even have to wash the rollers after we were done. You don't have to paint a red room red. You know?
All the youth in colleges, on the internet, with this lie.
How is it a lie, John? I mean, it just... How was George Bush not a warmonger? I mean, Jesus, that's right out of Sesame Street. You know, two of these one of these things is not like the others. One of these things does not belong. How is George Bush and warmonger not a member of a set?
Painting him as the evil one, never giving him credit for keeping our country safe.
Only because he didn't. I mean, I guess John Voight's forgotten, hasn't he? September 11th, 2001 did not happen on Bill Clinton's watch. It didn't. And frankly, it didn't happen on Al Gore's either. He didn't keep America safe. He did ignore and pass off to FEMA, of all people, the Hart-Rudman report on airport security and terrorism. Yeah, and there was the matter of that memo that said bin Laden determined to strike inside the United States. That was not delivered to Nancy Pelosi, John.
Once they established that, then it would be easy to bring in the one.
Oh, Jesus, here we... I got to warn you, I have not heard this. I heard the first few words. The one? Don't you mean that one, John?
As Oprah Winfrey crowned him. I'm also ashamed to say the Hollywood crowd was a big part of the tearing down of President Bush.
Yeah, and remind us of the fact that your daughter doesn't speak to you.
And they had a great influence in bringing in Obama in as well. Never mind that it was as clear...
You know what that is? That's code. That's code. In years past, they would have just said, the Hollywood Jews... Because they did. Now they can't quite say it quite so obviously, but the meaning is not lost on me.
Here is the nose on your face, who Obama was
nose, see?
Attached to.
See? I don't just, you know. I've got a past master's degree in translating this crap.
Nothing seemed to matter. It was amazing to me how the media and the young generation were taken in by Obama's false haloistic presence.
What the hell? Were we supposed to be taken in by a woman who hunts moosesses from helicopters? Is that what you want? John, come on! What was the choice?
And all his attachments to all the wrong people, Ayers, Wright, Flager, Alinsky, didn't matter one iota.
What about George Bush's or John McCain's connections to Keating or what about the Republican Party's attachment to Jack Abramoff? I didn't even know you could do that to Abram.
Clap, damn it!
Obama, as a candidate, portrayed himself as a moderate, but turned out to be wildly radical. The way he played his deception is interesting.
The Obama deception. Somebody's been visiting Alex Jones's website. Oh, my God.
But his campaign was meticulously thought through, well organized, and their techniques of outreach to gather support and funds through the internet were innovative, and their Hollywood savvy and the use of media was masterful.
I'm not going to say it again. Just go back and listen to the Nixon tapes. Hear the word that comes after Hollywood in the Nixon tapes, okay? You know what the word is. And he's... Code.
All their strategies should be carefully looked at to see if we might mimic them in a positive, legal way.
What was illegal, John?
My most pressing concern at this hour is the safety of Israel.
Oh, God. On the one hand, he doesn't... Oh, Jesus. I think his head's going to explode.
Clap, damn it! He just said Israel!
I think Obama has no idea that Israel was built on the blood and sweat of the Jewish people. Every blade of grass, every tree.
Every bulldozed Palestinian olive orchard
has been a successful effort because of the Jewish people understanding they would have a safe homeland forever.
What about that benighted chunk of sand is safe?
Nothing? They killed Palestinian children, the Palestinians killed Jewish children. How do you call that safe? You know, freedom fries.
Clap, damn it!
There are pauses for, there are applause pauses you could drive a truck through here. I don't know, the closet Repiglican party hadn't had its morning meth fix or what, but they're a little osley on the uptake, eh, aren't they?
He could not possibly understand this, or he would know that the Jewish people have tried time and time again to give the Palestinians land and bring a peaceful solution. But every attempt...
The only problem is, every time they try to give them the land, the land has a bomb on top of it. Falling from the sky, or a missile maybe. Or some dime weapons.
Every attempt was returned with violence. The Palestinians used Gaza to attack Israel.
What?
Oh. And in a minute, I bet he's going to call them missiles.
As far as I'm concerned, their only agenda is to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And he reprimands the Israeli people, Obama.
Really? He went to the Middle East... And he specifically said, you got to stop gooning on Israel, to a bunch of Arab states, and that is reprimanding the Israeli... What?
Like he's a professor and they're the school children.
Well, they're certainly not school children. If they are, they're school children with 200 nuclear devices. Them some dangerous school children.
I was embarrassed to watch his press conference with the great war hero Benjamin Netanyahu, who has helped keep his country safe for many years.
Again, this is safe?
Obama sat there with complete arrogance that he is now the new American power, able to dictate what he thinks is best for Israel. So how worried are we supposed to be now? Was I hearing things when he said that Iran might have the right to nuclear power?
I don't know, John. Was I hearing this when I heard it? I'm just... come on, open, damn it. Well, let's see if we can make this work yet. Okay, here we go. Yeah. This is from Max Blumenthal. This is Jerusalem, June the 3rd, 2009.
What do you think, by the way, about Obama coming to the region? He's a fuckhead. Yeah, I don't know politics, but he's a shithead. Anyone who wants to take away my gun rights is an asshole. He's an asshole and deserves to get shot.
Obamacare pressure is over shit. Netanyahu told him to fuck off, and that's how we do it here in Israel, baby.
Yeah! Go fuck himself.
Yeah! What'd you say?
If he's pressuring him, pressuring Israel, then go fuck himself.
I worked for the Obama campaign, but honestly, you fucking in Israel, you mother. Stop it. All right.
White power, fuck the niggers!
He does care about Jews and he does care about the Arabs. The thing is, he doesn't understand that this country is ours.
I think it's really fucked up that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel. Oh, he's a Muslim for sure, and who even knows if he was born in the United States? We haven't seen his birth certificate yet. Bullshit. He's not from the U.S. He's like a terrorist. Just, what is he doing for this country so far? Nothing.
What are you?
I'm a political science major, so like...
So you know your shit.
I know my shit.
Do you know who Benjamin Netanyahu is?
No. 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 Is he the Israel Prime Minister or something? I don't know who he is. Who's Benjamin Netanyahu?
Get his enemy place here. This is our place. Obama's place is over there. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for nobody. I live here. I'm a Yid. I'm a Jew. I'm Israel. Eretz Israel.
You think Obama likes Jews? Cares about Jews?
I don't think we can trust whether he does or not.
You said, yes, we can change the world. I ain't see any good changes yet, Obama. What's the deal? I think you're a pussy. And if you don't change the world anytime soon, I know where the White House is. I'm going to teabag your ass. And I'm going to put it on YouTube. Bag it. Come for you, Obama.
No, okay. You're all about talking to the Arabs, going to Cairo, making a speech to the Muslim world, trying to get them to love you. What about the Jews, man? What are we, chopped liver? You don't care about us? Are we nothing to you? Do we matter? Do you care if we get driven into the sea? Do you care if we get nuked? Like, are we even on... Do you care about us?
It's gone now.
I just want to smoke a blunt. Have some watermelon with Obama, you know? He's another nigga from the town.
I think Obama is an idiot. And I just think... Wait, is this going to be on, like, national TV or something?
Fuck Obama! He's an asshole!
Fuck Obama!
Fuck Obama! Fuck Obama! You like Obama? Fuck Obama! Fuck him!
My grandmother was in Auschwitz, Obama. We're not going to take any Nazi bullshit. Listen, man.
So you get the idea. We're running out of time. I'm afraid that I will run over. So I'll just say this. In the course of his rantings and ravings, John Voight goes on to say the following with regard to speaking to Iran. Are we supposed to be sitting and waiting, watching for the possibility of a new Holocaust? Yeah. John Voight accused Barack Obama of fomenting a Holocaust, a Shoah. And here's the best part. With that having spewed from John Voight's mouth, and you just heard what they think of him, what they think of Barack Obama in Jerusalem. Barack Obama hasn't done anything about the welfare that we send to Israel. The guns, the bombs, the planes, the bulldozers, the D-9 Caterpillars, nothing. John Voight says, are we supposed to be sitting and waiting, watching for the possibility of a new Holocaust? And afterwards, Senate Minority Leader Chinless Mitch McConnell took to the stage, praising the speech, and said, I really enjoyed that. We may have to come back to John Voight tomorrow night. We may have to come back. Because for now, the show is over. And that's it. tomorrow night's prayer meeting. Be well. Thank you to those of you who continue to support the Horn and make sure that the Horn and your voice can be heard. Thank you, if I did not say it plainly enough, to the bravest, hardest working people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch. Thank you to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, and to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. All Horn streaming comes through the White Rose. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Broadcasting live from the Horn Sauna, I am Bob. Hey, Ferg! Throw a little more water on those hot rocks over there and make some more steam and pass me a bundle of them switches that they use to beat themselves with in the saunas in Russia. Ah, this is good. I can just feel the pores opening in this blisteringly hot studio. Ah, yeah, just take that dipper over there, Ferg. Just dip it right onto the rock. Oh, yeah, nice and foggy now, too. Oh, I do love a good sauna. Followed by a steam room, then an icy, bracing bath. Ah, it's going to be relaxing. I saw Tony Bourdain doing the Banya thing in one of his episodes. What are those little branches they beat themselves with? I don't know. It looks invigorating. Then the ice-cold shots of vodka somewhere along the way. Whew! Mother. Nah, it's a little warm and toasty in here this evening, but we'll be all right. Yes, it is. It absolutely is, Lottie. It is a waterproof microphone. It is not head-worn. I am not a moron like a fundamentalist Baptist minister wearing his head-worn microphone into... into the baptistry and getting... Nope. Yeah, it's a little damp in here, but we'll be fine. So it is Tuesday, and we've had a very busy day here. We put our activist feet on the street earlier and went down to Charleston for the DEP permit hearing on the god-awful monstrosity that is taking place above our homes here. And we heard, we heard our lawyer make a, when an operation's been going on for years, and they're told to correct things that they've been doing, you know, screwing up the environment, and, you know, by the environment, I mean the place where we all live here, and they're told to fix it, and in fixing it, things only get worse. And then they think they're entitled to have the permit renewed? And, of course, the $500 an hour lawyer for the coal company gets up. You could just tell that he had tucked his reptilian tail inside his suit pants before he left for work in the morning. I don't know what these people are upset about. You can't even see it. You know, out of sight, out of mind. Oh, we can't see. Yeah, you know what? I can't see the mercury that falls from the sky because of burning coal. I can't see the mercury that falls from the skies into our rivers, our lakes, our oceans, our seas, our little creeks. I can't see that either. But just because I can't see it doesn't mean that that the mercury in this country doesn't account for a 10-point IQ deficit in any child born at any given minute. So that's where we were today. Tried to keep up, as I noted in our sort of foreshortened show last night. Tried to keep up with the news a little bit along the way, though, just the same. And there is an abundance. There is always an abundance. As long as there are repiglickens in the world, we will never want for something to talk about on this program or the other programs on the horn, if you were listening to Guy James earlier today, which I hope you were, and if you weren't, why not? You know that there's plenty to talk about. And we'll hit some of the high points this evening, or low points, since they do involve repiglickens. But you know what? I'm not a superstitious man. And I don't go in for superstitious stuff. However, I have to note, I can't avoid noting the synchronicity of one particular item in the news. You know, driving down the mountain today, I was listening to the radio in the big old red truck, and I heard a story about the fact that the first Guantanamo concentration camp inmate was brought into the territorial confines of the United States today. And, of course, I was filled with fear and dread and absolute loathing, because I'm just as terrified as any right-winger. I know what this means for America. I know what it means to bring Ahmed Gailani to New York to actually face trial for his role in the bombing of the U.S. embassies in Tanzania and Kenya. I know what that means. None of us are safe. None of us.